Blog Talk Radio.
Green Talk Live and more. With the shots, this is Green Talk Live, you are now in tune. You ain't locked in yet, then you will be soon. Put your thinking caps on, this is intellectual. Moses and Rivera go deep in the thick of vegetables. It's the shots, the form of the speakers who want to crush. Knowledge is power, meaningful topics, getting the trust. Nobody brings it like the shots, throw the towel out. Here's a number for your phone so you can dial out. 347-838-9540. Don't call too late, cause you don't want to miss all the action. Speaking with passion, pick up for the show like Bill Paxton. Expand your horizons, open your mind. Had a hard, long day, come and have a good time. Have an opinion to share? Call in and let it go. Welcome on, it's Real Talk Radio.
It's Real, it's Green Talk Live and more.
On It's Real Talk Radio with the Chef.
Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera. Welcome to our new show. Now, the topic that we're going to be talking about is the XL Pipeline story. One of the biggest stories prior to Sandy, somewhat prior to Sandy, about the Keystone XL Pipeline and the huge controversy of, you know, this major pipeline that's going through the Midwest and the effects of it, both environmentally, agriculturally, and, you know, health-wise. So, Chef Moses.
Yeah. I think what's going on is we all hear about this XL pipeline and what's going on, but it's like little bits and pieces. Of course, there's been in-depth reports about the history and stuff like that, but what we were thinking about was doing was giving you a little history on it so that we could so that you could get a little bit more than just little bites and stuff like that from the major news networks. The Keystone Pipeline System is an oil pipeline system that originated in Canada, and it's connected to the United States. It runs from the Western Canadian basin in Alberta, Canada, to the refineries in the United States, in Sealy City, Nebraska, Wood River, Illinois, Gulf Coast of Texas. So, this is something that is major. It's worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. I'm not going to even say billions of dollars anymore, because billions is not even something that's, you know, plausible anymore, because we're dealing in $1 trillion and stuff like that now. So this is worth a lot of money, and it is impossible to fathom the depths of what some people will go to for money. And I don't want to get off the topic, but the money's worth nothing. But the depths that people will go to acquire this paper and would forgo their health and your health and you all's health, it says a lot. And I mean, this is something that the government has sanction. It's all right. There's crude oil and diluted lithium that actually it's from the sands in Canada, and it carries like a light crude oil from the Williston Basin. This is like a region in Montana and North Dakota. There's three phases of the project that are in operation, and the fourth was awaiting, like, U.S. government approval upon completion. The Keystone Pipeline System would consist of a complete, like, about maybe 51 miles, actually, of the Keystone Pipeline. This was actually phase one and phase two. The Keystone Gulf, the coast expansion, phase three, and the proposed Keystone XL pipeline project, phase five, all of these phases. But this is just to extend, this was to extend a long piece of the pipe from Alberta to Steely City, Wood River, and it was completed in the summer of 2010. Phase two of the Keystone, it extended, and it was completed. It was another phase that was completed, and that one was completed in February of 2011 with the pipeline from Sealy City and storage and distribution of facilities, and all of this was in going to a place called Cushing, Oklahoma. These two phases have the capacity to deliver up to 590,000 barrels per day.
Amazing. Amazing.
Of oil within the Midwest refineries. That's a lot. That's a lot. But now, where's the poison from that going in? There's always a byproduct, a waste byproduct that, you know, is always left. Like, you know, nuclear energy is good, but the nuclear waste isn't, so what do we do with it? So what do we put the waste at? What do we pump it at? You know, I'm going to say this. When you, certain things that you hear
right.
that are going on, mm-hmm. it really deserves your attention, as opposed to, you know, the fast-paced life that we're all into, fast-paced, mm-hmm. meaning that the everyday life, the hustle and bustle of the world. Mm-hmm. But here we are talking about these things that should be eradicated and should not be happening, but it's happening because we're all, the vast majority of us cannot do anything because we're doing everything else but what's important.
Right.
And you know, these are things that are really important for me to be sitting here and being able to say these things to you, which are factual, and it concerns you, concerns your well-being, your health,
mm-hmm.
all of these things. And it's just, you know, it makes you say to yourself that this is really a sad world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
When all of the technologies and all of the things that we have and all of the accomplishments, the so-called accomplishments that we've achieved and all of these things, it means nothing if we're killing ourselves on the back end of everything.
Right.
It really, truly makes yeah. no sense if we are killing ourselves on the back end.
Right.
But the thing is, the reality is that it's not us per se that is doing it to ourselves, it's other people that are doing this to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like I said, it's deep. It really truly is, and it's disturbing that we can't get it together. You know, everything else is more important. But
it's the way I see it is, the more, you know, corporations do what they're doing, and, you know, like Chef was saying, this is a trillion, multi-trillion dollar, not even billion dollar, this is a multi-trillion dollar endeavor that the major lobbyists in Washington prevailed with, despite the fact that the Democrats are, you know, disapprove of it.
Well,
to a large degree.
In public view, but
right.
behind closed doors, we know what, not what
right.
goes on.
Right, so it's just a shame that, you know, you could imagine the catastrophic instances and nuances that are going to come from this whole pipeline thing. This is the biggest pipeline project ever in American history. And even despite the fact that there's been several different nuances of pipelines throughout the country,
that all have burst. Something has happened
yes,
to them,
despite
and, you know, it's just been an ecological mess all across the board to a large degree.
Yes.
Now, who am I to say?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about who am I to say. I've seen something. You've seen it. History has shown it. These pipes burst. They leak. And, you know, that's why, and even with this fracking, I mean, a woman can cut on her faucet and flames shoot out of the faucet.
As opposed to water.
So, like I said, we're living in some real dangerous times. We're living in some real, like, in-game times right here.
Yeah.
And it is up to you to either cover your head or mm-hmm. to, because I'm going to tell you another reason why. I'm going to say this. We're doing this show because when we asked we spoke to some people, and people were not aware at all of
the project or the magnitude of catastrophe that 9 times out of 10 would derive from it. And the proof is, like Chef said, it derives from the history of pipelines in this country. And, you know, it's just, this whole thing about corporate greed is just...
It's crazy, but...
You know, you get speechless after a while.
But they didn't, they never knew about the Keystone Pipeline. A lot of them did. Some of them heard of it, but were not aware of...
Everything.
Of the whole magnitude and situation of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that's why we chose to do the history approach.
Right.
And the hope that it opens up mm-hmm. some of the listeners that listen to us.
Right.
That they understand a little bit more. Like I said, you're seeing the news. You know, there are documentaries and things like that. But, again, our lives are fast-paced, so we cannot move away from that.
Right.
But the thing is that sometimes, you know, our people, they listen. So the thing is to make them understand all of the little subtle nuances of
mm-hmm.
the history of the stuff. But to get back to it, phase 3 of the Gulf Coast extension, which was opened in January 2014, has a capacity of about 70,000 barrels per day.
That's insane.
This is...
It's big business.
It is, but...
Corporate gain, wealth, all that stuff. Man.
It makes you... You know, even with the information, it makes you not... It really just takes away from the reality that this could really be going on. And not just this, but a whole lot of other issues and things like that, but that's a lot of those issues are not green talk. But, I mean, certain things are supposed to move you, especially when it's pertaining and dealing with and or around the environment. It's something that it really needs to be, you know, look, 700,000 barrels per day, that's like, the proposed, like, phase 4 of the Keystone Pipeline.
Right.
It's beginning in Alberta and extended Sealy City again, but essentially replacing the existing phase 1 pipeline. So, now, if you're going to build, I'm just saying, if you're going to build a pipeline, of course, you know, somebody's going to tell me something and, you know, somebody would say and debate that, you know, this is the way. But listen, as an engineer and an architect, as a construction worker, I would mm-hmm. say, and I've done that, I would say that you measure 14 times and you cut once.
Right.
So if you're going to build a pipeline,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to build this pipeline one time. For whatever purpose, you know, of course there's going to be some, oh, well, you know, this was the reason, and you don't know what you're saying, but pipelines are dangerous in general. These
yeah.
things are, they move, they're going through places that they shouldn't go through. If you're going to do something like that, It has to be another way if you're going to do that. Or, again, there are other ways, but we choose, because of the multi-trillion-dollar business and industry that these guys are in, solar and stuff like that is not, it's not plausible. But, I mean, if that was the case, if they really were thinking, my whole thing was, I would be like, let me diversify and go into the solar. But, you know, that's not their plan or that's not their intentions. The fact is that you're killing people and you know you're killing people and, you know, we're being killed enough around the world without question. The environment is killing everyone. This is not just a particular nation's fight. This is everyone that lives on the planet Earth's fight. The environment really is important. You know, you take it for granted if you can't breathe fresh air. And see, we take that for granted, believe it or not, because that's just given freely. But when we destroy the environment that we live in, that we can't be able to consume oxygen, I mean, that's scary. And the thing is that, you know, I don't have a say in that. You don't have a say in that.
Right.
Even though United, we're not the first. We're not the first to talk about this issue. There were many people way before us to discuss and even ponder these issues and understand the magnitude of the chemicals and all of the potential hazards that it could cause. So, I mean, we're not the first, and it still hasn't stopped.
Right.
So, I mean, the thing is, I'm saying that we have to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. We have to be vigilant. We really, truly do. But the reality is that it's big business.
Yeah.
But if enough people understand and can comprehend,
right,
then the magnitude, not even comprehending, just the magnitude of the situation and the problem, then you could really have appreciation for what I just said about 700,000 barrels per day coming out of this extension of what they're doing with the Keystone XL pipeline. It's actually, they faced a lot of criticism from environmentalists and some of the members of the United States Congress. In January of 2012, President Barack Obama, he rejected the application and proposed the protests about the pipeline's impact on Nebraska and the environmental sensitivity, Sand Hill regions. TransCanada Corporations charged the original purpose proposed route for the Keystone Pipeline to minimize the disturbance of land, water resources, and special areas. The new route was approved by the Nebraska governor. And in January of 2013, however, as of January 2014, the construction permit is still not issued. So,
okay.
I mean, you know, this is where we at.
Right.
This is where we at. And,
you
know, like I said, it says a lot to be able to freely be in a democratic society, to be able to have certain information that's just, you know, readily available, but it's prevalent, and it's not like it's a big secret, because the thing is that you know, they're telling you what it is, but the thing is that we need to be able to decipher and put together some of these things. Sometimes, I mean, it's not, sometimes people think, oh, it's just, you know, hey, it is what it is, and we said it and we worded it the way, but, you know, you word it in a way that, you know, some people just don't, you know, don't really understand what's really going on until someone else, you know, says something in a way that maybe shed some light. So, again, it's about sharing the information, getting the history to make you understand that any pipeline in general should not be happening.
No.
They shouldn't, because you're running the risk of something happening that can be out of your control in the environmental disaster on it, the impact is, you know, it's great. And the thing is that no one ever really, things don't, nothing happens.
Right.
Nothing happens to the individuals. They might pay a fine, this big, huge, astronomical amount of money, and they have to help in the cleanup, and they use all of these nanomicrobes that clean and eat the, listen, if you hadn't put that dung there in the first place,
right,
we wouldn't even have to experience. And again,
mm-hmm.
history, you're supposed to learn from, history is supposed to learn from the mistakes.
That's it.
And there's been numerous of mistakes pertaining in dealing with pipelines.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, I can't stress it enough. The environment is all of ours. We live here. To not secure our environment would be detrimental to our health, to our livelihoods and everything else.
Yeah.
Just to give you a description of the Keystone Pipeline system, consists of operational phase one and phase two, phase three, and the Gulf Coast Pipeline project. And the proposed pipeline expansion segment, phase four of the Keystone XL construction, phase three from the Cushing, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
To Midland, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and the Gulf Coast area began in August of 2012
mm-hmm.
as an independent economic utility. Phase 3 was opened on January 22nd, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
The Keystone Pipeline Project, Phase 4, revised proposal in 2012, mm-hmm. consisted of a new 36-inch pipeline from Alberta throughout the Montana and the South Dakota, Steele City, Nebraska, and it was to transport up to 830,000 barrels per day of crude oil from Western Canadian Basin in Alberta, and it was going into a region of Montana and North Dakota, primarily in reference to the Gulf Coast area after the Keystone XL pipeline segment was completed. American crude oil would enter the XL pipeline at Montana on their way to the storage and distribution facility
mm-hmm.
at in Oklahoma. Cushing is a major crude oil marketing, refining, and pipeline hub. Operating since 2010. The original Keystone Pipeline system it's a 3,461 kilometer pipeline delivery of crude oil from Canada to the U.S., the Midwest markets, and Cushing, Oklahoma, in Canada. Now, we're talking all these numbers, and we're talking all of this pipeline,
mm-hmm.
and again, it's always the planning that goes into the phases. Of course, all of these are phases, but they actually start behind closed doors the majority of the time.
Right.
And, you know, money moves for people that are in sync and that love money. Money moves them to do things.
Just about anything.
Just about any old thing, the majority of things. This is why, as a society, we are the way we are. Because money and greed rules the day. That is the reality that we live in. It can be changed, but before we can It's just like anything else. The reason people have talk shows and talk about things and this, that, and the other and all these things, they do that. It's not because they need some type of therapy. Well, maybe some people do, but it's not that they need some therapy or an extension or a release. It really is to get information out to change a populace. No matter how, you have to start somewhere. That's the reality, too. You really have to start somewhere. And in the minds and the concept, I'm angry, I'm upset that people are not understanding their value, their opinion in this whole topic of the day, because soon no one's going to have an opinion to a large degree. They will be too scared to have an opinion to a large degree, but nah, that's not going to happen. I wouldn't think an XL pipeline would be running through the Midwest, you know, that's just, you shouldn't be there.
Right.
You know? But getting back to what I was saying, this particular part in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
This was the first part of the Keystone involvement in the conversion of approximately 864 kilometers of natural gas pipeline. Now, this is not just, you know, people say it's crude oil, but, you know, there's a lot of things that people are not aware of. You know, they're not going to tell you the whole thing, but like I said, I know there's been documentaries exposing it. We're not the first at all, by no means, but it speaks volumes, crude oil, natural gas pipelines, all of these things. These are, even if they're out of the way of the populace or the major populations, it's just something that should not be done like that.
Yeah.
You know, it affects the environment. It should be done in another way. Of course, it's not going to be done in another way because that would be more feasible.
Right.
But the thing is that it's not about the feasibility. It's just like growing in a garden or a farm.
Yes.
It's not about the farmer's comfortability. It's about the vast majority of food and using the space to its maximum potential. So in that sense,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of the same thing if you really look at it, but it's just a different, the metaphor is just different. You know, it just shouldn't be done. I mean, of course I'm no scientist, nothing like that, even though I've been told that, but I'm not a scientist, anything like that. But I just innately know, just like a lot of you all know out there, that there's no way that if we were on planning committees and boards, we would run a pipeline with toxic, with crude and using, and knowing that certain things are being pumped back into the earth that really don't belong there and that are poisonous, these things spread. This is the earth. The earth is a sponge. Water, I mean, there's tables of water underneath the earth and reservoirs of water that we utilize for drinking consumption. This is what we need. But now if that water is poisoned and contaminated, I mean, what happens then? Nobody thinks about these things, but, you know, you're off moving fast in your life and doing so many things and this, that, and the other, and your career and the baby, your father, your mother, your grandparents, life in general, so that when you have to come back to the table, when you have to wear a gas mask and go outside, now you have to say, well, what the hell's going on?
Right.
What happened? Well, you know, while you were doing all of these things and while everybody else was doing the things that they were doing, nobody had time to come together to understand the great magnitude and need of the situation that was at hand. And that's the sad thing.
Yep.
That really is the sad thing. For one to be so, you know, this is going to affect my children. It's going to affect your children. You have to say to yourself, there's a lot more people that don't know, that haven't a clue to what I am talking about, or what a lot of other people are talking about dealing with this Keystone Pipeline. It's people that have never even heard of it. That's the sad reality. And there's people that, you know, the technology is out here, but, you know, some people just don't care about certain things. And, you know, it's about the, all they can deal with is the world that they're dealing with, as opposed to dealing with the broader spectrum of issues and things that are going on. So, there's people that know who I'm talking to them without question. Thing is, you have to understand that you do have some type of power to make some type of change.
Right.
You really do, and you can affect some type of change. That segment that I'm talking to is a whole lot of segment, a whole lot of demographics and everybody. But the thing is, to be, you know, how I understand about, yeah, but do you really make a stand? You have to take a, you have to be active, or you have to be knowledgeable and share that information. The only way, word of mouth is the only way to share information.
Right.
That's the best way. That was the only way to a large degree.
Right.
You back before, you really couldn't get that information unless the other person walked to the other village to tell the other villages. And that information spread through the village. And then wherever they went in their travels, then they spread that information too. So this is something that we really must, you know, get into. But I'm gonna digress a little bit.
I just wanted to read an article from thinkprogress.org about the hundreds that have been arrested recently in March for the protests of the Keystone XL pipeline. Youth activists held a rally on Sunday outside of the White House demanding President Obama to stop construction of the proposed Keystone XL pipeline that would carry tar sands south across the country from Alberta, Canada, to Texas. Now, about 1,000 were expected to turn out for the protest, many of them university students. An estimated 300 people locked themselves to the White House fence before being arrested by security. The protest comes just days after a report from the State Department Inspector General found that there was no conflict of interest in the fact that the contractor hired to write an environmental impact statement on the pipeline also worked for major oil companies involved in its construction. So, I mean, what do you say to something like that? There's not much to say to something like that. It's, you know, it's like no matter how, it feels like sometimes no matter how hard you try to fight against the inevitable, it is the inevitable. It had to have take corporate backing and a real deep intrinsic level of corporate influence to even galvanize the support for it, let alone the opposition to it. So stuff like that doesn't surprise me, but that doesn't mean that you stop fighting. You continue to keep fighting. You continue to, you know, rage on against the machine, so to speak. Because this isn't unjust. I mean, we do not support the Keystone. You know, Color Anarchist hasn't, and we will not support the Keystone XL pipeline. We are very supportive of the protesters, and we will continue to give updates on several different topics that deal with the Keystone XL as it continues to be a battle. Now, I'm going to derive from that and read something else from Fox News. Now, this was not too long ago. This was last week. This came out. And it's basically saying that the Democrats who are, you know, oppose the Keystone XL pipeline, they're under retaliation and attack from within and from the outside. Quote, title of it is Union Warns House Democrats of Retaliation of Opposing the Keystone XL. That's incredible. Now, one of the nation's leading building trade unions is stepping up pressure on House Democrats who oppose the Keystone XL pipeline, calling on union members in 27 congressional districts to punish their representative in the midterm election. Amazing. A letter distributed by the Laborers International Union of North America, very powerful union, by the way, to the 27 district calls for union members to make sure their representative feels the power and the fury of LIUNA this November, the Hill reported. So, it's, I mean, it's about money, it's about politics, it's about,
well, it's, well,
it's incredible.
You
I mean,
know, the thing is, what you're saying is that it all boils down, we
yeah.
can talk and say whatever we want, but
yeah.
boils down some money.
Yeah.
Money is the major motivation.
The number one factor without
in
question.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is to make it a delivery system that is cheap and effective,
mm-hmm.
that can be utilized for centuries in
right.
their mind.
Yeah.
But there's all types of things that can happen from that. It really truly is. So, I mean, it's a, back to you, Shepard.
You know, your member of, now this is a quote, your member of Congress is trying to destroy job opportunities for our LIUNA brothers and sisters. Now it's about, I mean, again, it's about money, but the perspective is that, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the people that want to get hired to implement it, you know, they have a huge stake in it as well.
Of course.
So, you know, read the letter signed by Terry O'Sullivan, the general president of LIUNA, and obtained by The Hill on Friday. Now, this is the letter. Now, for every action, there's a reaction, and our reaction to this frontal assault on our way of life needs to be loud and clear. If you do not stand with us, we sure as hell will not stand with you, O'Sullivan wrote, citing the jobs Keystones would create. The House members being targeted by the union include Reps Frank Pallone Jr., Democrat of New Jersey, Anna Eshoo, Democrat of California, Raul Grijalva, Democrat of Arizona, and Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio. So they're basically being threatened to concede to it.
Threatened because they get this money involved,
yeah.
again.
Yeah. All of the representatives signed a letter to the Secretary of State, John Kerry, in March, urging him to reject the pipeline. Now, the letter to union members asked them to remember that unemployed construction workers desperately need the work generated by Keystone XL, calling it a lifeline for thousands of members, according to The Hill. Now, this is my opinion. Granted that it may generate employment, but after that employment is done and everything is settled and done and then the Keystone XL is, you know, is in the ground, how long after will these catastrophic things take place where, you know, all that raging for employment and money and all that stuff?
That's the
when things start, well, yeah, I understand that, but the thing, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. You know, people are going to, you know, people's health is going to be at risk by it even being implemented, but that's not even, you know, important. It's all about just, it's not a factor at all. From what I'm seeing as far as the updates to this whole situation is, it's coming down like, you know, we've been saying, it's about money and, you know, at the expense of the American public. It's a really ugly situation. But LIUNA said it supports reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but not at the cost of jobs. Incredible. The livelihoods of LIUNA members are too important for our union to continue ignoring the actions of supposed quote-unquote friends who stand in the way of jobs that enable our proud members to provide for themselves and their families, read a letter to Representative John Schakowsky, Democrat of Illinois. Now, the Republican-controlled House has voted several times to approve the $5.4 billion, but, the you know, it's $5.4 billion of the indefinite investment. Now, it's the project is going to bring trillions of dollars.
Yeah, but the original, but not the
incredible.
But the original Keystone Pipeline, of course, 5.2 building.
Wow.
With the Keystone XL expansion stated at the course at approximately 7 billion.
Incredible.
And it was expected to be completed by 2012 to 2013.
But which it has not.
Right, but construction has been overtaken by events.
So I mean, because I give a big up to the protesters and
all the protesters,
you guys are slowing this stuff down
and bringing it to the light
and breaking your necks and putting your neck on the line and tying yourself to the White House fence. I don't blame you. And I hope that you continue in the fight. I know you will, all over the country.
And we're hoping that more people will come out and understand the magnitude of what we're saying and get involved and be present in some of these fights. Everybody does it in their own little way.
Right.
Contribute in your own little way.
Right.
If you cannot make to take the bus journey, because there's a lot of people that just cannot – you know, just get on the bus and go to Washington, go tie themselves to the fence. But we do, you know, everybody appreciates the people that really fight
the
for
the effort, the countless efforts,
right.
The tireless efforts.
But we just have to make people aware, and we, you know,
and that,
everybody tries to do it.
And I'm quite certain that the protesting is still raging on. There's tons of petitions online. I'm always posting, you know, on our Culinary Kids website, things of that nature
Facebook,
on Facebook and Twitter for people to be aware of, you know, what's going on and how they can, even though you can't be at Washington, D.C., what's so funny, going back to Washington, when I went down there to talk about Superstorm Sandy with a collective of victims from different parts of the eastern coast, and we went to convey our concerns and what we wanted from all of this for our different communities that were affected. The Keystone XL pipeline thing was right behind that, as far as the protesting and the activism concerned. We touched on it a little bit. I touched on it a little bit. The colleagues of ours that went touched on it a little bit. But the precedent of the Superstorm Sandy overhaul, I would say, that needed to be addressed without question kind of superseded that a little bit. But you know,
that's important.
Both things were definitely important, and I'm so glad that once we left and more protesters came in from different parts of the country to, you know, do what they had to do to make their point heard to the president and his administration. What can I say? Everybody has to fight. Everybody has to put their foot down. It's getting to a point now that you got to put your foot down. And, you know, recently, you know, us personally had to put our foot down with certain things in our neck of the woods. And we completely understand that, you know, enough is enough. When you get tired and your back is against the wall, you get tired and you get exhausted.
Or people think your back is against the wall.
Right, or they think that's true, that your back is, which it really isn't. And
you just get tired.
You just get tired. It's the human condition. You just get tired, and you don't want fracking in your backyard. You don't want pipelines in your backyard. You don't want your food to be affected. You don't want the air that you breathe to be affected, or the water that you drink to be affected. So, you know, it's reap what you sow, man. That's all I can say. I mean, you put these things out there for money. But there's always gonna, you're gonna sow something from what you reap, man. If you
sow bad seeds, you're gonna get bad plants.
Yeah.
And the bad plants, the bad plants are actually that the seeds just don't come up. nothing flourishes.
Yeah.
But if you have good seeds, then you know it's a proverbial, you know, it's crazy.
You
good
know.
Seeds bear fruit, bad seeds bear nothing. That's what they do, absolutely. So, and what's so funny is the seed, the proverbial seed that I'm mentioning is the money.
Yeah.
The money is no good because there's no gold back in it. So that's another story.
So it's like it's vain and it's twisted. But getting back to the article, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, the Democrat from Nevada, blocked the vote last week on a Republican proposal that would have allowed construction of the pipeline, thank goodness, and made numerous changes in the nation's health care law. GOP lawmakers said all of the proposals would help create jobs. Now, 11 Senate Democrats, including six who faced contested races this year, sent a letter to the president on Thursday urging him to approve Keystone by the end of May. So it's still a cat fight in D.C. over this stuff. It's a very touchy topic. And there will be an end to it all, but I hope the end is that they don't build it.
Well,
that's my question. I hope. It's the inevitable vote. But the five-year review of the Canada to Texas pipeline has been exhaustive in its time, breadth, and scope, I would think so, and has taken longer than reasonably justified, the senators wrote to the president. Approval of the pipeline is needed to ensure pipeline operator TransCanada does not miss another construction season. Six of the Democrats who signed the letter faced challenges this year. Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, Mark Begich of Alaska, Mike Pryor of Arkansas, John Walsh of Montana, Kay Hagan of North Carolina, and Mark Warner of Virginia. The Keystone XL pipeline has emerged as an election year dilemma for Democrats. I would say so. Wealthy party donors are funding candidates who oppose the project. A high-profile symbol of the political debate over climate change. But some of the party's most vulnerable incumbents are pipeline boosters, including the six who signed the letter Thursday. Several former Obama administration officials, including ex-Interior Secretary Ken Salazar and former National Security Advisor James Jones, have called on Obama to approve the pipeline. Jones told Congress last month that approval would send Russian President Vladimir Putin to a message that international bullies can't use energy security as a weapon. Environmental groups and some top Democratic donors oppose the pipeline, saying it would carry dirty oil that contributes to global warming. In my opinion, that is true. They also worry about possible spills. We've seen that on countless occasions with other pipeline examples.
Dirty oil? With some other stuff in it, the oil was never really meant to be burned in the atmosphere anyway. So regardless if it's oil or oil,
whether it's
with,
dirty or not,
you know,
it just
50
wasn't
a
meant
minute or, you know, whatever.
Tom Steyer, a billionaire environmentalist, has vowed to spend $100 million, $50 million of his own money and $50 million from other donors to make climate change a top issue in 2014 elections. Opposition to Keystone XL is a significant part of that effort. So it's basically like how the money moves, how it's swayed. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said Thursday that a review of the pipeline needs to run its appropriate course without interference from the White House or Congress. The State Department is reviewing the project. When there's a decision to be announced, it will be announced, Carney said. The State Department has authority over the project because it crosses U.S. border. Now, this article was written and it was published on April 12th of this year, which was roughly 5 days ago, about, you know, that's the most recent update that we have. And, you know, like it was stated that the president has up until next month, the end of next month, to decide where this is going to go. And I'm pretty sure that there's protesters on the move, and there's protesters, I'm quite certain, that are headed up to D.C. And keep voicing your opinions. Keep the pressure on for it not to happen. And I wish them the best.
Listen.
I wish them luck.
From what I was taught.
Right.
The oil is a lubricant,
right,
that helps keep the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out.
Right.
Before I get into the atmosphere part, this oil is a buffer between the Earth's core, mm-hmm, that gives off and radiates an extreme amount of heat and energy.
Right.
the oil is like a lubricant buffer between us and the core's mantle, the core's sensor. So, with that being said, by extracting the oil out of the earth, two-phase flow now, what are you doing? That's like taking the oil out of a car engine, letting it run, it overheats. The car stops. So with the earth, same kind of thing. What happens, but in a different way, what happens is that the oil is extracted out of the earth. The buffer's no longer there. Where it would have once been cooled and kept at a certain level, it gets extremely hot. And it radiates that energy, eventually permeates to the top. Now, with the oil that was extracted out of the earth, and now that was put into a car, and now burnt into the atmosphere, that is what's called global warming. These fumes, these fossil fumes, even way when we were in the Industrial Revolution, when the United States hit the Industrial Revolution and all of the coal and fossil fuels that was burned, this is an accumulation over the centuries that has allowed us to be at the point that we are. So, with that being said, with the combination of that, that creates the climate change that we are, that is being invoked right now. It's a combination and a culmination of a whole lot of things, but fossil oil was never meant to be burnt into the atmosphere, without question. Never.
That's not what it was meant for.
No, that was never its original purpose.
No.
You know, so like I said, it was used as a buffer, but you know, we have been destroying this earth slowly but surely.
Right.
And all of our technology and all of the technologies that we're using and science is not catching. Actually, the information is overwhelming to the degree that there are scientists that do understand the necessity to stop and that have been understood the necessity to stop and using these fossil fuels and a whole lot of other things. But the implementation of these things are not what other people feel that everybody else wants to stop, because we're so comfortable with how we have it and how we do it that if we do stop it, it's going to stop our level of comfortability.
Right. That's true.
I mean, it's a whole lot, but I mean, it's a whole lot of other things too. But these are some of the finer points that really are the reason why we, you know, hesitate to. I guess we're all like drug addicts, because we're dependent.
Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically, we're all like drug addicts, strung out on crude.
Oops.
Crude makes plastic. They use it to, you know, oil and all of that. So, I mean, we are slaves to the rhythm and junkies to the rhythm to a large degree.
It's incredible, the depths of it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? We have power. Strategically, we could stop. But we, like I said,
conditioning
is the number one factor.
Yeah.
The conditioning of the comfortability level.
Yeah.
This is comfortable. This is quicker. This is faster. Do it this way. Buy this. Buy that. Do it that way. So, you're right. But the thing is to change, to bring these things out, and to change people's opinion and thought, their thought process on how they see things and they view things. But again, talking about greed, where Chef left off, the Transcanada is a corporation. They proposed a project for the Keystone Pipeline in February, February 9th of 2005.
Right.
But in October of 2007, the communications industry and the paper worker union of Canada asked the Canadian federal government to block the regulatory approvals of the pipeline. I wonder why.
Mm.
If I read on, we shall find out. No, but with the union president, David Coles, stating that the Keystone Pipeline will exclusively serve the U.S. market, permanent employment for very few Canadians.
Right.
Reduce our energy, it would reduce their energy security and hinder investment and job creation in the Canadian energy sector. So it was money. It's about money. So I don't hear nothing about safety, health, nothing.
Yes.
None of these things you hear nothing about.
Environmental impact.
No, none of these things.
Global warming, climate change, zero. I haven't heard anything. The rhetoric that we've conveyed to our listeners, to the public, it's clear that, you know, I mean, it's common sense that it's not about the public.
It's rhetoric, but it's good rhetoric.
It's good rhetoric, but it's not about the public. It's about corporate gain. That's the synopsis. Really.
Yeah, but the corporations, I mean, how can you say it? What I'm saying is, it's been said more than 20 million
different ways
this Sunday.
Yep.
And, you know, it's, when you do some research on, but just not just this, but anything that affects us.
Right.
When you do the research, you find out that there's been so many people that you're not the first person. You know, you see something, but there's so many other people that have seen things. And you know what's so sad, though, about a lot of this, though? What's so sad is that a lot of the people that start off in, you know, trying to do something and help, a lot of them got swayed by politics and money.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of other people that haven't been swayed
and refuse
to be swayed.
Yeah.
But there's a great, you know, vast majority that are swayed. But the ones that are not swayed, there's so many of them. They really are a lot. And their song is through histories, like, you know, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
David Wilmington. Have any of my listeners ever heard of David Wilmington?
I'm quite certain.
Okay. John Kratz. These are people that were into environmental and, you know, causes and champions of these things, but these are some of the unsung heroes,
right?
That you don't hear about, especially when you talk about environments. And people don't want to hear about that. Nobody wants to hear about the environment. Everybody wants to be, you know, like an ostrich with their head in the sand. And, you know, it's not the environment; it's something else they want to be an ostrich with. So that's like the conditioning. But there's so many people that have talked about this, and there's so many people that are talking about it now. And these are people that, you know, when it's about the environment, you should be listening, because
mm-hmm.
you live in the environment. If you can't live in the environment, you're going to die. The environment is not, you might not die right then and there, but what's going to happen is, you know, like I said, there's going to be things that can, we'll work around that. You know, we'll build, not even that, we'll get you some gas masks. Everybody has to walk around with gas masks. And then after the gas masks, if that doesn't work, listen, we have this dome over here, and we constructed it, and we can pump air into it. I mean, but
that's just
why, before you get to that even point, and you know that we're at a point where history showed these things are not good for us, and they don't benefit us. They're not conducive. Why would we want to even deal with that?
Even
go there. We're supposed to make arrangements in another way. That's just it. You know, but
we're about to go to break.
We're about to
go to break. We're going to do our little plug. to get more information about any of our shows, our archives, our For Life product partnerships, anything about Culinary Kids in general, you can reach us at CulinaryKidsCSA@yahoo.com. That's CulinaryKidsCSA@yahoo.com. You can make all the inquiries, questions, and volunteering, and you know, internships, all that stuff. You can definitely email us there. For more information on our organization, you can go to our website, www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org. www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org. If you want to donate, same search engine, www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org/donate. That's www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org/donate. One more. We also have another endeavor, our Cafe Press Farm Rockaway shop site, and that's at www.cafepress.com/farmrockaway.
And I like to give a shout to my partners, Raymond Gonzalez,
Rocky,
definitely. Thank you, Rocky. That was a great boost last night, night before last.
Yeah.
For life. Arthur Morris, aka Smarty Hardy. And like I said, we're going on break and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first before you move.
Toon style is immensely strong and immune to nearly any weapon. When it's properly used, it's almost invincible.
I'ma give it to you with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation. Weak MCs approach with slang to set them either run into the wall and bang your head. I push a force, my force you're doubting. I'm making devils cower to the Caucasus Mountain.
Well, I'm a sire. I set the microphone on fire. Rap styles vary and carry like Mariah. I come from the Shaolin slum and the alley I'm from is coming through with enough niggas, enough guns. So if you wanna come sweating, stressing, contesting, you got to start towards the midsection. Don't talk the talk if you can't walk the walk. Phony niggas are outlined and chalk. I'm as vexed, it's what the project made me. Rebels to the grain, there's no way to barricade me. Steamrolling niggas like an 18-wheeler. What the drunk driver driving, there's no surviving. Rough like Timberland, where? Yeah, me and the clan and yo, the Land Cruisers out there. Peace to all the crooks, all the niggas with bad looks. Forehead, braids, blows and hooks. We back home, sex, niggas play the max. Black act, drug dealing, styles with fat facts. Only been a good nigga for a minute though, cause I got to get my props and win it, yo. I got beef with commercial ass niggas with gold teeth, camping in a Lexus seat and beef. Straight up and down, don't even bother. I got 40 niggas up in here now who kill niggas for me.
My beef is, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on the track. My beef is, are you with me where you at? Broken neck, taking cash on the block with the jack.
Here I go, deep type flow. That you stole can never get this. No, I'm carry bomb and shit. Boom, that's warming up a little bit. Rapping in is what's happening. Keep the pockets stacking in, hands clapping in. That's the party when I move my body. Gotta get up and be somebody. Grab a microphone, put strength to the bones. And dance, dance, until the Wu-Tang goes. Sure enough, when I rock that stuff, huff, huff, I'm gonna catch up, rough, tough, rough. Kicking rhymes like Jim Kelly or Alex Kelly. I'm a beat of belly rhyme. Coming raw style, hardcore. Niggas be coming to the hip-hop store. Coming to buy grocery from me. Turn to be a hip-hop MC. The law, in order to enter the Wu-Tang, you must bring the whole dirty bastard type slang. Represent the Jizza, Abbott, Ruzza, Shaquan. Inspect the deck, dirty hoe getting low with his flow. Introducing the ghost, face killer. No one can get it live. My peoples, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack. My peoples, are you with me where you at? Smoking map, hitting cats on the block with the jack.
Speaking of the devil's sight, know it's the guard, get the shit right. Mega trife, and yo, I killed you in a past life. On the mic while you was kicking that fast shit. You and Nick tried again and got blasted. Half-mastered ass style, mad rough jazz. When I struck, I had on Tim's in the black mask. Remember that shit? I know you don't remember Jack. That night, yo, I was sitting like a spike bat. And then you thought I was bugged out and crazy. Strapped for nonsense, after me became lazy. Yo, nobody budged while I shot slow. Never shot dubs, I'm running with dust that flood bumps. So grab your 8 plus 1, start flipping and tripping. Niggas are jetting, I'm licking off, son.
Wu-Tang, 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 Wu-Tang.
Homicide's illegal and death is a penalty. One justifies the homicide when he dies in his own iniquity. It's the master of the mantis rapture coming at ya. We have an APB on an MC killer. Like the work of a master, evidence indicates that it's stature. Merciless like a terrorist, hard to capture the flow. Changes like a chameleon, bends like a friend and stabs you like a dagger. This technique attacks the immune system. The sounds like a lie, paralyzing the victim. You scream as it enters your bloodstream. Erupts your brain from the pain these thoughts contain. Moving on a nigga with the speed of a centipede in Asia. Any motherfucking contender.
My peoples, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack. My peoples, are you with me where you at? Smoking meth, hitting cats on the block with the cat.
I don't see how you can hate from outside of the club.
You can't even get in.
Leg out. Yellow model chick. Yellow bottle sipping. Yellow Lamborghini. Yellow top missing. Yeah, yeah. That shit look like a toupee. I get what you get in 10 years. In 2 days. Ladies love me. I'm on my cool J. If you get what I get, what would you say? She whacked it all off, Mr. Miyagi, and the suicide doors, Ari Kari.
Look at me now, look at me now, oh, I'm getting paper. Look at me now, oh, look at me now, yeah.
Fresh in a motherfucker, little nigga bigger than gorilla, cause I'm killing every nigga that can try to be on my shit. Better cuff your chick, if you with it, I can get it, and she accidentally slipping fall on my dick. Oops, I said, on my dick. I ain't really mean to say on my dick, but since we talking about my dick, all of you here to say hi to it. I'm done.
Hell, Breezy. Let me show you how to keep the dice rolling when you're doing that thing over there, homie.
Let's go!
Cause I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I gotta get away, get away, get away. Better know that I don't and I won't ever stop, cause you know I gotta win every day, day.
Go!
She didn't really, really wanna pop me, no. Just know that you will never pop me. And I know that I gotta be a little cocky,
no.
You ain't never gonna stop me. Every time I come a nigga gotta set it, then I gotta go and then I gotta get it, then I gotta blow it, and I gotta shut it. Any little thing a nigga think that he be doing, cause it doesn't matter, cause I'm gonna dead it, then I'm gonna murder everything and anything about a boom, about a bing. I gotta do a lot of things to make it clear to a couple niggas that I always win, and then I gotta get it again and again and again. And I be doing it to death, and now I move a little foul. Nigga better call a rap, and everybody know my style. And niggas know that I'm the best when it come to doing this. And I be banging on my chest, and I bang in the east, and I banging in the west. And I kinda give you more, and I will never give you less. You will hear it in the street, and you can read it in the press. Do you really wanna know what's next?
Let's go.
See the way we on it, and we all up in the race. And you know we gotta go and try to keep up with the pace. And we struggling and hustling and set it and to get it. And we always gotta do it, take it to another place. Gotta taste it, and I gotta grab it, and I gotta cut all through this traffic just to be at the top of the throne. But I know I gotta have it, have it.
Look at me now, look at me now, oh. I'm getting paper, look at me now, oh, look at me now, yeah.
Fresh to the fuck,
man, fuck these bitch ass niggas, how y'all doing? I'm Latunche, I'm a nuisance, I go stupid, I go dumb like the Three Stooges. I don't eat sushi, I'm the shit, no, I'm pollution, no substitution. Got a bitch that play in movies in my jacuzzi, pussy juicy. I never give a fuck about a hater, got money on my radar, dressed like a skater, got a big house, came with an elevator, you niggas ain't eating, fuckin' tell a waiter. Molly say shoot him and I say okay, if you want that bullshit then I'm like Olay. I don't care what you say, so don't even speak, your girlfriend a freak like Cirque du Soleil. That's word to my flag, and my flag red, I'm out of my head, bitch, I'm out of my mind, from the bottom I climb, you ain't hotter than mine, nope, not on my time, and I'm not even trying, what's poppin' slime, nothing five, and if they trippin', fuck them five, I ain't got no time to shuck and jive, these niggas is sweet as pumpkin pie, throckin' Sprite on a private flight, bitch, I've been tight, and got in life, and my pocket's right, and my diamond's white, and my mama's nice, and my dad is dead, you faggot scared, cause I'm too wild, been here for a while, I was like, fuck trial, I put it down, I'm so young, money, if you got eyes, look at me now, bitch,
look at me now, look at me now, oh. I'm getting paper, look at me now, oh, look at me now, yeah.
I'm
fresher than a motherfucker. Okay. Okay. Is that right? I'm fresher than a motherfucker.
Mad at me, I think I know why. Nigga use a window shopper in the jewelry store, looking at shit you can't buy. Nigga use a window shopper in the dealership, trying to get a test drive. Nigga use a window shopper, mad as fuck when you see me ride by.
Summertime, white Porsche, Carrera is milky. I'm on the grind, let my paper stack when I'm filthy. Funny how niggas get the screw facing at me. Anyhow, they ain't got the heart to get at me. I get down south side the hood that I come from. So I don't cruise to nobody hood without my gun. They know the kid ain't going for all that bullshit. Try and stick me, I'm a little for full clip. It ain't my fault, you done fucked up your re-up. At the dice game, who told you put a G up? Everybody mad when they paper don't stack right. But when I come around, y'all niggas better act right. When we got the top down, you can hear the system thump. Nigga, when we rollin', 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 lock down. Quick to put a hole in the jump. Nigga, when we rollin', rollin', rollin'.
Nigga, use a window shopper. Mad at me, I think I know why. Nigga, use a window shopper in the jewelry store, lookin' at shit you can't buy. Nigga, use a window shopper in the dealership, tryna get a test drive. Nigga, use a window shopper. Mad as fuck when you see me ride by.
Niggas love me in LA as soon as I pop in. They come and scoop me up at LAX and I hop in. And when it comes to bad bitches, you know I got them. Some from Long Beach, some from Watts, some from Compton. You know a nigga wanna see how Cali girls freak off. After that 5-hour flight from New York, I start spitting G at a bitch like a pimp, man. Tell her meet me at the Montreal so we can do our thing. She can bring the lingerie with her, I suppose. So we can go from fully dressed to just having no clothes. So she can run and tell her best friend about my sex game. Yeah, her best friend could potentially be next, man. Listen, man, shit changed. I came up, I'm doing my thing. Homie, I'm holding, holding, holding.
Oh, shit,
man, the store on watching you. For something get stolen, stolen,
nigga,
stolen.
Nigga, use a window shopper. Mad at me, I think I know why. Nigga, use a window shopper in the jewelry store, looking at shit you can't buy. Nigga, use a window shopper in the dealership, trying to get a test drive. Nigga, use a window shopper. Mad as fuck when you see me ride by.
Okay, Lamborghini Mercy, yo chick she so thirsty. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk. Okay, Lamborghini Mercy, yo chick she so thirsty. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk. Okay, Lamborghini Mercy, yo chick she so thirsty. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk. Okay, Lamborghini Mercy, yo chick she so thirsty. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
Drop it to the floor, make that ass shake. Whoa, make the ground move, that's an ass quake. Build a house up on that ass, that's an ass state. Roll my weed on it, that's an ass trait. Say yay, don't we do this every day, day. I worked them long nights to get a payday. Finally got paid, now I need shade and a vacate. And niggas still hating, so much hate, I need a AK.
Now we out in Perry, yeah I'm Perry A-ing. White girls politicking, that's that Sarah Palin. Getting hot, California Caden. I give her that D, cause that's why I was born and raised.
Okay, Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk.
Okay,
Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
Time, my top back, this pimp game, ho. I'm red leather, this cocaine, I'm Rick James, ho. I'm bill dropping, this Pac-Man, this kill popping ass, ho. I'm popping too, these blue dolphins, these soup coffins. All she wanted some heel money, all she needed some bill money. He take his time, he counts it out, I weighs it up, that's real money. Check the neck, check the wrist, them heads turning, that's exorcist. My Audemars like Mardi Gras, that's Swiss time and that's excellence. Two door, preference. Roof gone, George Jefferson. That white frost on that pound cake, so your Duncan Hines is irrelevant. Woo! Lambo, Mercy, Lago, she go, wherever I go, wherever we go, we do it pronto.
Okay,
it's like
Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
Okay,
Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
The bugle that blows the many time and it's still on one more time. Let's get your mother.
Let the suicide doors up. I do suicides on the tour bus. I do suicides on the private jet. You know what that mean, I'm fly to death. I step in Def Jam building like I'm the shit. Tell them give me 50 million and I'ma quit. Most rappers take level, ain't at my waist level. Turn up the bass hill, it's up in your face level. Don't do no press, but I get the most press, kid. Plus yo, my bitch make your bitch look like Precious. Talking about Mary, she gone off that Molly. Now the whole party is melting like Dolly. Now everybody is moving they body. Don't sell me apartment, I move in the lobby. Niggas is lawing just to feel important. You gon' see lawyers and niggas enjoy.
Okay, now catch up to my campaign. Cool the color of mayonnaise. I'm drunk and high at the same time. Drinking champagne on the airplane. Spit rounds like a gun range. Beat it up like Rampage. 100 bands. Cut your girl, now your girl need a band-aid. Grade A, A1. Chain the color of Akon. Black diamonds, backpack rhyming. Cold signing by Louis Vuitton. Horsepower, horsepower. All this polo on, I got horsepower. Pound of this cost 4,000. I make it rain, she want more showers. Rain. Pouring. All my cars is foreign. All my bras is foreign. Money tall like Jordan.
Okay, Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
Okay,
Lamborghini Mercy.
Word.
Yo chick, she so thirsty.
Word.
I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she tryna jerk me.
We're back. I'm gonna go into the National Energy Board. I'm gonna talk about the National Energy Board of Canada. They actually are the ones that approved the construction of the Canadian section of the pipeline, including the conversion of a portion of the Trans-Canadian mine and gas pipeline. For the gas pipeline and the crude oil pipeline on September 21st, 2007. On March 17th, 2008, the United States Department of State issued a presidential permit authorizing the construction, maintenance, and operation of the facility at the United States and the Canadian border. And this was in 2008. Now, on January 22nd, 2008, ConocoPhillips acquired a 50% stake in the project. And on June 17th of 2009, TransCanada, they agreed that they would buy out ConocoPhillips' share in the project and revert to being the sole owner, of course, money. It took TransCanada more than 2 years to acquire all of the necessary state and federal permits for the pipeline construction. It took another 2 years. Now, the pipeline from Alberta to Illinois in the United States, that became operational as of June 2010. So can you imagine the money, the 50% stake of the project that ConocoPhillips had in it, and then TransCanadian agreed, but they bought out these cats out. So 50% of those shares, I'm pretty sure, was a very exuberant amount of of funds. I don't know what you think, Chef.
I don't know what to think anymore. It's just these types of stories and agendas in this country is just so outrageous sometimes, and you got to make a story out of it. And you can't. And with that being said, when you're making a story out of it, you have to make, you know, it helps you make sense of the situation, the pros and cons, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the black and the white.
The great shaded areas.
And the great shaded areas. So it doesn't cease to amaze me about American politics and American culture, how things are run, you know, in Western civilization. It's incredible.
Speaking about that, touch on this. I think the Western civilization, the model and the mold for it, this is what has allowed for the rapid expansion of greed in America. The Japanese invested in education,
mm-hmm.
and look where it took them,
yeah.
to a large degree.
Yep.
We invested and we showed greed was on the table. So by us, you know, being shown that greed, wealth, and the acquisition of wealth and how to get it was to be done manipulative and cutthroat and deceitful, this is where we're at as a nation. And, you know, you're not really, there's no way in the world that you are going to put a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound. But we are so past a gunshot wound that it is incredible. We're more like, I don't know, we're like on the operating table, and, you know, you're trying, there's no scalpel, there's no anesthesia, there's no nothing. The only thing that's in the room is some gauze and a Band-Aid. So, I mean, with that being said, it's just amazing. It really is amazing. But the keystone, the pipeline extension, it was proposed in 2008. But just to let you know what the XL stands for, it stands for export limit. So the application was an actual December of 2008 in the United Energy Board of Canada. Started hearing in September 2009, the following year. On March 11, 2010, the Canadian National Energy Board approved the project. The South Dakota Public Utility Commission granted the permit in February 19 of 2010. On July 21, 2010, the Environmental Protection Agency said the draft environmental impact study for Keystone XL was inadequate and should be revised, including that the State Department original report was unduly narrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's government talk for shit wasn't right. because it did not fully look at oil spill response plans, safety issues, and greenhouse gas concerns. Of course, these are things that should have been the company should have done way before, so that when the question was presented and posed, they could have the information. But they were not thinking about that. It's about letting other people do the job, or there's this big, these big organizations and corporations. I know they have people that do these things, and you know, but like I said, it's just sometimes it seems like it's just a waste. It's just a waste
of energy.
A waste of energy.
We're not trying to be pessimistic. It's just that there's so much going on with this particular agenda. And, you know, the whole thing is about money, money, and money, and more money. And, you know, $5.4 billion, you know,
it's
allocated.
A motivator.
I mean, it's definitely a motivator, and, it's allocated to the project. And then, you know, the turnaround is going to be trillions of dollars. So that $5.4 billion that's allocated to the project, that's a drop in the bucket to the amount of money and tonnage of oil that's going to be extracted from the earth, you know, at the expense of the American public. And the health and the health risks are going to rise. And
it used to be crude, now it's dirty crude, literally, with sand in it. So, we are one. All we can do, we are fighting a cancer. And we're just attacking it. But there's other people that are attacking it too, but this cancer is just so great that we all need to attack the cancer. If enough people can understand what I'm saying, everybody understands what I'm saying. It's just like I said, once the radio show is over, it's good to hear now. If it's not me, it's somebody else, what's this cat's name? The guy from the internet, the conspiracy theory guy. If it's not me, it's him. There's a whole lot of other people besides this guy. Your favorite person that deals with your favorite reporter that deals with these particular topics on the environment. The thing is to get this information out, to have it readily available for people. But if you have it, and it's not just this information, but like I said, it's a whole bunch of people attacking a cancer cell, and this cancer cell is so big, it's not just us attacking it, it's other people. Anytime you speak out about this, you are attacking it. But it makes no sense that if you're speaking out about it and there's nothing that you are doing to actually, you know, you're not doing anything. The thing is that we all collectively have to attack this cancer cell. And you know what, too? I'm starting the trend that has been set for a long time, that people weren't aware of, a lot of people weren't aware of, but the people that have been doing it for, you know, forever, been doing it because this is how they were raised and born. There's a trend. The trend is self-sustainability. By using self-sustainability, you are no longer tied to depending and relying on the government. You are dependent and relying on the community. By doing so, you can implement a great deal of change, because by a community becoming independent, it frees that community up to focus on issues and facts that are beneficiary to their community, to their environment, and things of this nature. This is something that is a necessity, but on a greater magnitude and a greater scale. Keystone is just one part of the cancer. There's other sections and portions. Stop and frisk, even though there's no more stop and frisk, but I'm just saying, you know, these, that was a cancer that was annihilated, but it might come back in a different shape.
What's your stop?
And it might be called a different name, or it's just a different situation, but this cancer might strike again, and the thing is that we have to recognize the cancer and strike it out. I'm talking like I'm talking about transfer fact. Yeah. You have to identify. You have to, yeah, you have to, you, yeah, this is what I'm going to do for you right now. You have to be able to identify the germ.
Right.
By identifying the germ, you will be able to ward off and fight it. But see, the thing is that you have to be able, your system, your immune system,
mm-hmm.
your memory, will have to remember what that germ was. And by doing that, you conquer the germ, because no matter how it comes back, you'll recognize it. It's for the scientific word is so that's when you can recognize that particular, you know, that pathogen that I just told you about. That pathogen is bullet. So when you recognize it, your body's innately knows that that's exactly what it is, and it's going to stamp it out. So that's what we need. But this XL pipeline thing, it goes, like I said, it goes so deep, meaning in the sense that just the history behind it and its overall impact to the environment and to the world at large. Because what doesn't affect you here affects you someplace or affects something else. Just like Fukushima. It happened in Japan, but it's affecting us over here in America.
Yep.
So the thing is that our environmental catastrophe could actually set off a chain of events. Which are resonating now. It has set off a chain of events that I'm pretty sure, see, every little nuance contributes to something. Now, you know, like I said, it's just that to gather all of these nuances together and put them together and say, ha-ha, all of these combinations is doing this and they're doing that. But the thing is that nobody has the time. You know, some people have the time, but, you know, some of that information just can't be, oh, we can't do that. We have to edit that before it gets out. So, I mean, like I said, it's not looking good for us, man, in this 11th hour. It's not really looking good for us, but the hopes of the awakening is, you know, that's what it is, the hopes of the awakening, you know. Everything is in a cycle. Can't be too much of something. Certain things have to control it, just like in a garden or a farm. If you have too many aphids, you have to get some ladybugs to control the population. So it's the balance, the yin and the yang, the chi, all of these things. But if there's no balance, then the system gets corrupted and it deteriorates. So as we all know, our situation is bleak because our oceans are, even before our oceans are, global warming was chopping down trees, and by chopping down all of these trees, the trees can't absorb the, listen, it's, you've heard this before, it is what it is, but we have to really collectively, you know, do something. Hundreds of people or thousands of people that are within my listening voice. But that's not enough. But the thing is to keep this going so that people are aware. It's not just this cause. It's so many other causes. And the thing is to be able to bring it to your attention and to give you something that you can really listen to. I think we do things a little bit different from the norm. We do things a little bit different from the norm. There's a lot of people that want to be guests on the show. But I think sometimes, my father used to say to me, that there's a time when you're there's a time when you should be teaching. You might think you might you need to be teaching, and you need to be taught. And he said there's a reversal to it too. There's a time when you think you need to be taught something when you should be teaching.
Right.
And sometimes the message gets, depending on the flow of the, as anyone would knows when you're conversating with someone, potential for the flow to go off to something else is, you know, it happens.
Right.
But the thing is to, I've learned when people are even, I'm not trying to compare myself to anyone, but when people are talking at something, people have talked and said something that was really profound and something that could really, you know, force of things. You know, it was imperative. That message was heartfelt and stood. And the thing is that we as humans, we really have to, you know, we really have to get into that frame of mind. We have to understand that all of these things, environmental, nuclear, whatever is the poisons, the pesticides, the chemicals, Monsanto's, all of these things are degrading our society. All of these entities, these big corporations, our interest is not their interest. Think about it. Their interest is not our interest, and our interest is not their interest. So, believe it or not, we would be considered kind of at odds to a large degree. But the thing is to be able to find a way. It's not even about finding a way to try to fold this thing more.
Right.
It's about actually annihilating some of the things that are bad for us in general.
Right.
So, with that being said, I'm going to let Chef...
I want to cover another update, which was recently reported on April 1st. Now, Silicon Valley, a lot of Silicon Valley in California, is against the Keystone XL pipeline and its implementation into the American landscape. So I'm going to read this article to discuss that more in depth. And this is from businessweek.com. In the March 7th letter to Secretary of State John Kerry that was made public on Monday, more than 200 business owners, venture capitalists, and the odd Stanford B School professor have asserted that the proposed Keystone XL pipeline is not in the economic interest of the United States. Over its lifetime, the 875-mile extension linking Alberta tar sands to refineries and tankers in the Gulf of Mexico will cost billions more than it brings in.
Mm.
In the letter, it states, and I quote, these costs will be borne by U.S. citizens, businesses, and taxpayers, while the profits from the pipeline will accrue to private corporations, many of which are foreign interests.
Check that out.
Said by Washington-based environmental entrepreneurs, E2, the letter refutes the State Department's recent report suggesting that the tar sands will be developed with or without the Keystone XL and carbon emissions from the extraction and consumption of its oil reserves will thereby be negligibly higher with the pipeline in place. Now, E2's business leaders contend that the lower transportation costs of the Keystone XL are critical, if not indispensable, to the tar sands development plans, and they note that tar sands developers themselves are on record as saying as much. Markets rely on both price and policy signals when making investment decisions, the letter states. While increasing prices for crude oil have driven interest in further development of tar sands, this development is not inevitable without continued high prices and policy support. Now, E2 bills itself as a nonprofit, a nonpartisan group of business leaders and others who promote sound environmental policies that drive economic growth. And its members claim to have collectively created more than 570,000 jobs while managing more than $175 billion in venture and private equity capital. E2 is also an affiliate of the Natural Resource Defense Council, an environment advocacy group that, with Robert Redford as its spokesman, has been against the Keystone XL from the start. If it's hardly surprising that the NRDC had a hand in circulating the letter, what is notable is the number of prominent signatories from Silicon Valley, and not just solar energy and clean tech companies betting on a move away from fossil fuels. It's signed by executives at Apple, Oracle, and Facebook, which boast a sustainability team, and by Google Executive Chairman Eric Schmidt. Quote, even beyond our group, I'd say it's a consensus among tech leaders that developing the tar sands will not benefit our economy and, on the contrary, increase the risk of real harm, says Anthony Bernhardt, the Northern California director of E2, retired physicist who spent much of his career at Lawrence Livermore National Lab. Bernhardt says E2 took the extraordinary step of speaking out on an oil infrastructure project because he and the other business owners in his group couldn't abide the manifestly untrue claims for the project that they kept reading in press reports. For example, the idea that the tar sands oil was headed to U.S. markets and would improve America's energy independence, with Texas and North Dakota, we are now producing as a nation 2 million barrels of oil per day than we were when Keystone XL first became an issue, Bernhardt says. We have no use for this oil, yet by committing to its transfer, the U.S. will be creating an enormous incentive to increase tar sands production for export and all the carbon emissions associated with its extraction and consumption for energy. Clearly, the letter releases was timed to coincide with the most recent United Nations report that climate change, like by carbon increases in the Earth's atmosphere, is already costing world economies, billions, and contributing to resource shortages. Elements of the letter deserve further debate, notably the claim that the Keystone XL will eventually cost American people $100 billion. That eye-popping number is based on controversial social cost of carbon figure. The point, Bernhardt said, is not whether the long-term cost is $50 or $100 billion. It's that we are faced with a decision where there is no real benefit for the American people. Meanwhile, we have the opportunity to avoid significant harm in the future. If I'm a prudent person, I'll take preventing harm over no benefit, end quote. Not all of the letter's signatories are techies or investors on Sand Hill Road. One is Bob Fisher, chairman of The Gap. Another is Ted Saunders, a fourth-generation operator of East Coast Hotels headquartered in Boston. The Keystone XL would not seem top of mind for a hoteler, Saunders says, but there's just no denying the trend lines. Year after year, we're seeing more major storms, more canceled events for our clients, more flights canceled. Everything the scientists warn us about is happening, and all of it having a direct or indirect on our business, end quote. So why, he asks, should he support a project that benefits foreign companies and risks greater disruption to American ones like his? For Saunders, it's a matter of common sense. There are 64,000 clean tech jobs in Massachusetts and self-preservation. In Boston, we have made more real estate value at risk to rising sea levels than any American city besides New Orleans, Miami, and New York. And we've seen what's happened there due to storm surges and flooding. I don't see increasing the risk of that for about the same number of jobs it takes to build and run a medium-sized mall, end quote.
So, this is what it is. It really boils down to big interest.
Yeah.
The old money baggers, along with the new money baggers,
yep,
that are looking to amass a large fortune,
yep,
at the expense of the American public.
Public.
And they are going to
proliferate.
And use propaganda and use all of these other devices to make it seem like everything is, this is what we need, and, you know, there's other data stating and pointing to we don't need it.
Right.
But if we all struck out and dealt with clean energy, we'd be stepping on a lot of people's toes and a lot of people's feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like anything. It has to be gradually introduced because the powers that be do understand the need and the necessity to be able to live off the grid, live off the land, and there are actions and things that are in place to be able to do that, but that is for the vast, that's not for the vast majority.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, if it's not for the vast majority and for a handpicked few, a selective few, or someone that is able to amount enough money so that if something like that happens, they can live off the grid or whatever the case is. But, you know, what are you living off the grid for if you can't breathe the oxygen in the air?
Right.
I mean, you know, there's going to be ways to do, but, I mean, we are watching, all of us are on this ride, and we watching this car accident. We know it's going to be a car accident. We in the car, all of us is in this big-ass car.
Yep.
And we know that this accident is about to happen. We are just getting it. Yeah, that's all we do. We are anticipating
mm-hmm.
that this accident is going to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
So all we doing is riding in the car waiting for the accident to happen.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep.
And
yep.
it's just
yep.
unfortunate that our mindset is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the mindset of a greedy person. A
yeah.
person that's not thinking.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've all been exposed to it to a large degree.
Yeah.
Nobody's exempt from it.
Right.
Nobody's exempt. The thing is to try to understand. It's just like a disease or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand what's the cause and why you don't care about things and why it's just about certain things or money that you care about.
Right.
Then you understand. And once you understand it, the thing
mm-hmm.
is that you are supposed to, after you understand it, you can work better and maneuver better from understanding it. And then you won't want to be like that. The thing is that people have been like that. The thing is to teach yourself not to be like that and to think about other people when other people are not thinking about themselves. But by them not thinking about themselves, what's happening is it's affecting you, and it's going to affect you. So, you know, you have a passion and a love for everything else. Sometimes we put our passions and our loves in the wrong place, and where we should be, where it needs to be, it's not.
Yeah.
But it's in the wrong place though. But I left off at the full look at the oil spill response plan safety issues and the greenhouse gas concerns. Now that was a very big issue when the Environmental Protection Agency, when they had, you know, made this draft, what I'm seeing is that even with all of these concerns, they were supposed to be addressed in the beginning, before any of this was even to be peripheralated. So my whole thing is this. They had time to go back to the table to bring out more of their findings. And now, mind you, the State Department original report was unduly narrow, bias and all that. It's just words for, you know, government words. But with that being said, when they did the final report, the final environmental impact report was released on August 26th. That's the chef's birthday right there. 2011. It stated that the pipeline would pose no significant impact to most resources if environmental protection measures are followed, but it would present significant adverse effects to certain culture resources. Now, listen, anytime you have Congress fighting and trying to put pressure on people and other
lobbyists, but other of their constituents,
whether it be Republican or Democrat,
and
to get them to move on a motion that is environmentally insane, and it's insanity, to pose them to get on board or to threaten them, this is just, it's an eye-opener to the politics that, you know,
being played out.
But see, the thing is that there's people that are aware, deeply entrenched in the in politics, that are aware of what goes on in the everyday usage and what they do and all of that stuff. The average person is not, does not understand how politics and this government really runs to a large degree. And some of the things that they do, some of the, well, a lot of things they do are illegal. And the thing is that all of it is part of the greater game to a large degree. So remember this. Their allegiance is to the corporation of the United States. And it's not to the people, and history has shown that. And, you know, there's all of the ones that try to do good by the people, we already know what happened to them to a large degree. So it's, you know, this whole thing is, it's about money. It's not about the environmental protection measures and none of these things, but if the environmental protection measures were followed, it would present significant adverse effects to certain cultural resources. Now, in September of 2011, Cornell ILR, Global Labor Institute, released the results of the GLI Keystone XL report, which evaluated the pipeline's impact on employment. The Environmental Agency Independent and Economic of other critical areas. Now, what's so funny, other critical, what does that mean, other critical areas? I mean, hey, now, on November 30th of 2011, a group of leading Republican senators introduced legislation aimed at forcing the Obama administration to make a decision on the XL of the pipeline within 60 days. In December of 2011, Congress passed a bill giving Obama administration a 60-day deadline to make a decision on the application to build the Keystone XL pipeline. Now, on January 18, 2012, President Obama rejected the application, stated that the deadline for the decision had prevented a full assessment of the pipeline's impact. Now, on September 5, 2012, TransCanada, it submitted an environmental report on a new route in Nebraska, which the company says, based on extensive feedback from Nebraska, and it reflects our shared desire to minimize the disturbance of the land and the sensitive resources of the state. Doesn't that make you suspect, Marisa? Now, in the supplemental environmental impact statement released for public, it was released to the public in March of 2013. The United States Department and the State Bureau of Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs described a number of changes to the original proposal, including the shortening of the pipeline to 875 miles.
This is actually, you just, you know, talked about reducing the length of the pipeline crossing the northern high plains. It was an aquifer system, which included in the original formation, and it stated that there would be no significant impact to most resources along the proposed project route. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request for route information, the Department of State revealed that and what about June 24th, 2013, that neither of these companies, Cardio or TransCanada, they ever submit a GIS information to the Department of State, nor will neither corporation required to do so. Now, they didn't require them to do any of these things. Now, it's always, we already know, when you're not required to do something and you don't have to do something, it's because of a loophole, a regulation, or somebody got paid off. So,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, with that being said, you know, it's something when you know, when we're a society of loopholers and
sidewinding
bullshit artists.
It's
a lot of us. It's not everyone. It's not everybody.
Let us be clear. It's not
everybody. Let us be clear. But it's just, this is what the degradation of our society, of the American society, has come to this. The grab for shekels. That's what we, you know, get your 30 shekels and 40 shekels of silver. That's who's in line. Whoever's in line. Now, when I say, I'm using that as a term, but the 40 shekels of silver is actually millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to some people. Mm-hmm. Then it's, you know.
And that works.
And that works for them. Some of them, you know, a couple of millions, that works for them. But that is their shekels of silver.
Yep.
That they have.
Yeah.
And the accumulation, now it's the accumulation of these shekels of silver,
mm-hmm,
that I'm lusting for now. So by any means necessary,
yep,
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get those shekels of silver and I'm going,
yep,
to accumulate them, no matter who I destroy.
In the process.
But eventually I'm destroying myself too. Myself, my
and
family,
your community.
And your community.
Yeah.
Your loved ones. And if you don't love anybody, you know, you probably don't love yourself either. So, but you're just killing yourself and you're going to destroy yourself because of your actions, your erroneous, greedy, manipulative actions. You're going to destroy yourself. And these are all of the people that vote for these things that work, that help to get to bring the jobs and sway the people to let them say that, well, listen, you're going to get jobs and you're going to be working, and that's what you're going to be doing. So now you were talking to me about you needed work and you needed this and you needed that, and I'm bringing it to you. And what are you doing for me? What are you giving me all of this? No, it's detrimental. It's a double-edged sword. You are a part of the problem and not the solution. If people said, listen, you know what? And this is for everybody. This is for all nations, everyone. If we as a nation of people, now this is going to the extension of everybody, but I'm going to say that if black people in the South hindered a bus company from making money on a small scale, now how much more the effort can a lot more of us do being cohesive? You know, there's organizations, and this is the game, there's organizations that say they are cohesive and this, that, and the other, but they have political ties. So they only come out when it's politics, but they don't really come out to the grassroots to get to the heart of the matter. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So the thing is that we just have to be really, really vigilant.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we have to, if you cannot...
if you cannot let someone go someplace that are talking about and having these topics and discussions and go discuss them, because these topics are important, and the more information that you have pertaining to this topic or any other topic, it allows you to make smarter and better decisions and wiser decisions and choices. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. And, you know, with that being said,
Before we end the show, I want to thank all our supporters over the past 3 months. We've been roughly on for 3 months now. Thank you for enjoying the show. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for all the emails and Facebooks and tweets and stuff like that in support of our endeavors overall. You know, we're just going to keep bringing it to you the best way we can from our standpoint and our perspective.
The real green talks.
The real green talks and all that good stuff. But nevertheless, before we end the show, to contact us by Facebook, you can contact us at our page at Culinary Kids Day Camp. That's Culinary Kids Day Camp. And at Twitter, we are at @culinary_kids. So, Chef.
With that being said, I'm Chef Moses.
I'm Chef Rivera.
Good night.
Good night. Green Talk Live.
Thank you for tuning in to Green Talk Live and More with Chef Moses and Chef Rivera on It's Real Talk Radio. You can catch the chefs on Facebook at Culinary Kids Day Camp, on Twitter at @culinary_kids, or on their official website, culinarykidsdaycamp.org. Listen to Green Talk Live and More every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540 or by logging on Blog Talk Live.